Blog Talk Radio.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." This was the verse that Pastor Rock ministered from this past weekend. Today we asked Pastor Rock to join us to talk about the latest status of expanded influence here on Ministry Beat. So stay tuned and hear from the pastor of Allegheny Center Alliance Church.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as expanded influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. This is John Stanko, your host for another edition of Ministry Beat. And it was a big weekend this past weekend at ACAC, the annual congregational meeting, which we now have meshed and molded and folded into the Saturday night, Sunday morning services. And now we are about to enter into Missions Month, and we'll be talking to Pastor Glenn Hanna the next couple of days about Missions Month. But right now we want to bring Pastor Rock on and talk a little bit about this past weekend. Morning, Pastor Rock. Welcome to Ministry Beat.
Thank you, John. Good morning.
That's good to have you back. And let me ask you just a practical question. How do you feel after going through five services and the weekend is over? What's your spiritual and emotional and physical condition when it's all done?
Well, it's probably the most dangerous time of the week for me. I attended an event a number of years ago that ultimately became a book. But the event was a seminar on some of the temptations and pitfalls of pastoral ministry. The guy doing the seminar was an MD. He actually was the head of the emergency department at the University of Arizona Medical Center, but he was also a pastor on staff of a large church out in Arizona at the same time. And he did extensive research over a period of years. And one of the conclusions was that when pastors know they have to preach, there is an adrenaline buildup, same as an athlete before a big game or anybody who has some big event on the horizon. But after they're done, they go into an adrenaline deficit, meaning they've burnt through it, and they go into this unavoidable, inevitable kind of a low. And his research showed that pastors who get into trouble almost always get into trouble on Monday, meaning, you know, inappropriate engagements with the opposite sex, whatever, almost always happens on Monday. Now, when I say the most dangerous time of the week for me, let me make it very clear. I don't go out wandering the streets looking to have an affair. But it's just the time when I feel that drain. And I'm not good company because I'm just sort of flat. And I know I'm sort of emotionally and adrenaline spent. And so that's when I find the enemy is most likely to attack me with maybe discouraging thoughts or inappropriate thoughts. And I don't want to give the impression that, you know, I white-knuckle it through till Tuesday morning. That would be far too dramatic. But I would say I know I'm going to feel sort of adrenaline low. I know that I'll be more prone to temptations, but I'm experienced at dealing with that. So nothing happens, but I'm just mindful that it could, and sometimes mindful that the enemy's trying to make an inroad, and I know what's up, and so I resist. So that's why I say it's sort of the most dangerous time. It's just your tank's empty. You've given everything and your tank is empty.
Yeah, I had a pastor, I heard him say one time, that's the time we really should go to prayer, because we can be very susceptible to people saying that was a great message, or somebody indicate that they didn't get it, or they didn't resonate with the message, and you can feel a false sense of encouragement or a false sense of discouragement. And he said we just need to go to the Lord as much intensity as we did while we were seeking the Lord for the message. And I certainly concur. And then there's just the physical exhaustion. I mean, what ACAC does is not the norm for ministry. We do a lot of services. There's a lot of pressure to stay on time track and have good content. And of course, you set a high standard for that. You've done a consistently great job. And this past weekend, you talked about, as I mentioned in the introduction, Hebrews 11:8, about Abraham going out, not knowing where he was going. The title of the message was Stay the Course. Give us a quick synopsis of what you talked to us about in the message.
Well, my main point was that following the will of God, even when you know you have clearly heard from the Lord, can be very, very confusing and very, very difficult. And I use the example of Abraham, who received the promise that he would be the father of a great nation, and that through that nation, through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The outworking of that promise took many, many years. There were a number of apparent setbacks, delays, going back to where he had started. And then after he had gone through all of that, God calls him to sacrifice Isaac, which again, he didn't have to do, and God never intended that Isaac would die. But at that point, after all the delays, all the confusion, all the setbacks, all the walking in circles, it appeared for all the world like the whole thing was going to go away and that God was ordering it. So I think sometimes people think if you've heard from God, well, then you can stay the course and it all falls into place. Well, you need to stay the course, but don't expect everything to clearly fall into place. Expect surprises, delays, expect to be confused, expect to ask, Lord, none of this seems to align with what you told me. And then, of course, there was immediate application for us as we've sought the three C's of campus redesign, church planting, communications improvement. We've just encountered delays and miracles unfold, and then they retreat, and we get a yes, then we get a no, then we get a yes, then we get a no, and it's taken much longer, so that I jokingly said to our congregation, we've added a fourth C, confusion, and I have to thank you for that line. You you said it in the staff meeting, and I told you I was going to use it, and I did. So I love it when a biblical story perfectly aligns to what you're living and then speaks into what you're living.
You introduced in the letter at the end of the annual report a concept of high tech, high touch, and I think that emerged again out of a meeting that I was in, watched this kind of take hold. Talk to us a little bit first about the high tech, how you see that part of the phrase fitting into expanded influence and our strategy, philosophy of ministry at ACAC.
Well, going back in time, years ago, in 2007, I believe it was, we were maxing out, people standing along the back of the balcony, and it was standing room only. And the prevailing church growth wisdom said, build. And I felt the Lord clearly told me, don't build. And our leadership felt that same leading. So we did a very impractical thing. We didn't build. And you know, then at that point we essentially plateaued because we were out of room. It wasn't a surprise. That's why people do build. But I felt back then that God was saying, don't take the short view of things. Take the long view. And I felt like the Lord showed me long view, large worship centers will become virtual albatrosses around a church's neck. I shared my thinking with some fellow pastors of large churches, and you know, I became the the mistake in the punch bowl, if you will. It wasn't a very popular concept, and I didn't go on the campaign trail for it, but I just sensed that what God was saying. Well, in the interim, many churches have built large facilities and doubled or tripled, but yet I've held on to that. Well, now, I was just recently reading a well-researched article on trends in American churches, and it compared 10 years ago with what's trending now. And 10 years ago, massive worship centers were in. But the trend now is towards smaller worship centers and greater use of technology in the form of establishing satellite congregations, using technology to bring the teaching ministry to them so that you don't have to find a God-gifted communicator every time you want to plant a church, and even using technology to break ground with unbelievers and the unchurched, many times who are fearful of coming to a church. It's right. Strange to them. It's foreign. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what goes on behind those doors. And we have the opportunity through live streaming and things of that nature to let them see that, you know, our heads don't spin and we don't run around and act stupid, and let them see what church is so that it removes that fear and they'll step across the threshold. So I just feel the future for expanding your ministry is not brick and mortar. Add another 2,000 square feet. I think the future is using technology in a number of sites, and not only satellite congregations, but even some different flavored alternative services on our campus. Like we have a very traditional service in the chapel. It has a very loyal following of 75, 80 people every week. Well, could we, you know, pipe in the message so that we're all on the same page, but set up some different venues, different musically, a little different genre of expression? So I think the future is not brick and mortar.
I was interviewing somebody last night. They live in the Caribbean. I had met them in England, and she is a online greeter for an online church service. So I said, how does that work? She said, well, I greet people as they join the meeting. We actually chat with people online during the service. They have questions. She said, we also have a quote-unquote prayer room. She said, we get some of the most interesting people, sometimes unusual, but she said people who would never come to a church or say they have
right.
seldom been to a church. They will join for 15 or 20 minutes. She said, and consequently, their brick-and-mortar church in Orlando, Florida, and I get this, they're members of the church and they live in Barbados, but they're part of the online streaming, and yet when they come to the mainland, they attend the brick-and-mortar church in Orlando. It's a new day. It's a new paradigm for ministry, and it's never been a greater opportunity.
No, there are a lot of people that just aren't going to walk through the doors until they're assured that they would be welcomed, that they're not going to,
We're not going to pray just, on them. We'll pray
they're
with
not,
them, but
gotta
not
embarrass
them.
Themselves.
Right,
they're not going
right.
to step into some faux pas, call attention
mm-hmm.
to themselves, stand when they should be sitting, sit when
mm-hmm.
they should be standing. I mean, people who haven't been in church, they don't know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of fears.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the high tech. The high tech is versus brick and mortar.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
and again, the success is in brick and mortar now. You know, when a paradigm changes, the old paradigm is still successful for a significant period of time.
Right.
It's not like, you know, this flip a page on a calendar and everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
It remains successful for quite a while, trending, and then it picks up speed, and then pretty soon it's just a memory.
Yeah. Now, along with the high tech goes the high touch, and
has to be.
As you said, we're not going exclusively cyber church. We're still
no.
going to have a physical presence. So, talk to us about where the latest thinking is on that, and where we think today the Lord may be leading us, and what He's showing us.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said today, because I made it clear Saturday and Sunday it's subject to change. the high touch is, I don't want people to think, okay, so I'm going to get up Sunday morning, stay in my pajamas, throw
mm-hmm.
on the computer, and call that church. No, that's not
mm-hmm.
church. Church is community, and community is face-to-face. Community
mm-hmm.
is living, touching, conversing, face-to-face, body language, time together. So I have no interest in streaming church being a substitute for flesh and blood community. But that's why high touch has to accompany high tech. So in our case, the way I see that working out, one, in church planting, the message comes high tech by way of live streaming or pre-recorded. And again, that helps us to maintain consistent message, consistent culture, and stay on track with the mission God's given us. You don't have to find somebody whose calling is communication every time you want to open a church plant, because that's the hardest post to fill. But yet the high touch part comes in that satellite church will be a community of flesh and blood people with a flesh and blood on-site pastor praying for one another, conversing with one another, growing together, unpacking the truth of God together, praying, community, high touch.
Mm-hmm.
On
mm-hmm.
our campus, I think we have to strengthen the touch piece by creating better spaces for people to hang around after the services, before the services, to hang around and be able to sit down and talk together and share life together and pray together. So the expansion I'm foreseeing on our campus will be expansion of places that facilitate touch. Not expansion of sanctuary, but adding significant lobby space, what's called a hub, that people flow into, and out of it, they send their children one way or their youth another way, and they go another way. But the hub itself becomes just a big community center, if you will, with lots of venues and spaces for people when a service is over to be able to sit down together and chat, or before a service, sit down together and talk about life and share their experiences together and see one another and not have to, you know, be hurried out, if you will. So
mm-hmm.
everything we're going to do, in addition to bringing our children back across the street, will be designed for touch. So we
mm-hmm.
use the technology for expansion and bridge building and evangelism, but then we use the touch for community, and because that's where real growth occurs.
Yeah. And of course, we being an urban in an urban setting, we've talked about this before. You know, we don't operate in a vacuum. There are a lot of interests, special interests, legitimate special interests. So when we've talked about a garage with one entity, there are a lot of entities that want to speak into that. Some of them have legitimate concerns. Some of them have long-term vested interests. So I think that's been part of our start, stop, because we when we make decisions, that doesn't mean we can immediately walk them out. And I think we've encountered that again and again, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, if you're in a large church like ours, in a suburban setting, an edge city setting, even a smaller community setting, you can buy 20, 25, 30 acres. Many of my fellow pastors in large churches have campuses mm-hmm. that large. Well, then mm-hmm. you can pretty much do whatever you want on mm-hmm. your campus because it's your land and you own enough of that land that what you do really isn't going to impact the surrounding community. The only thing churches like that run into is some resistance and concerns about traffic on mm-hmm. Sunday morning and traffic flow into the area. Mm-hmm. But by and large, you've got your place and you can do what you want on that place. It's zoned commercial, and so you can do that. When you're on 2 acres of land in an urban neighborhood and you've got schools and hospitals and apartment buildings and businesses all mm-hmm. within a few feet mm-hmm. of your door, you don't have that same kind of latitude. Mm-hmm. So if we want to put up a parking garage because it changes the aesthetics, it changes mm-hmm. the skyline, mm-hmm. it has implications for flow, we need the approval of several community groups, leadership conferences, politicians, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and every one of those can be a minefield. And every one of those can rise and fall based on who's in charge,
changes in leadership. Mm-hmm.
Oh, while we've been negotiating with the hospital, there have been at least two changes mm-hmm. in the CEO. And mm-hmm. and each time we go all the way back to square one,
mm-hmm.
all the way back to square one and start all over again. And this garage is intended to be a joint project of Allegheny Health Network and the church on the church's land with the health network's finances that will be a blessing to the hospital, to the church, and to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so all three of those entities have to align. And mm-hmm. if any one of the three shifts a little bit, you're quickly back to square one. And so it's very complicated in a setting like ours. Everything's mm-hmm. harder in an urban setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Space is harder.
Right.
Permits, harder. All the groups that speak into. I mean, there are some who feel we've outgrown this corner and we should go somewhere. They don't say where, but go somewhere mm-hmm. and that this corner then should be commercial apartments, businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what you run into in a mm-hmm. setting like this, where you buy 30 acres of commercial property in a suburban setting and then you can do what you want as long as you can finance
mm-hmm.
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So along
so
with
urban
high,
ministry
high
is always mm-hmm. harder.
Yeah. So and of course with high tech and high touch, there's high finance because the costs are greater. So talk to us.
Yeah.
We've been dabbling all year on the border of a REACH campaign, looking to raise money. Of course, we can't do that till we know exactly where we're going. What's the latest of our thinking in that regard? What can we be looking for at the end of this year, beginning of next year, where our financial commitments as members of ACAC are concerned?
Yeah, well, a vision has to be funded. A vision without funding is just a wishful thinking. And so even though we're not going to come to our people with a $10, $11, $12, $13 million massive building project, we do need to retrofit some of our space for our children in a way that it doesn't feel like they've gone from the penthouse to the outhouse. We have to upgrade some of our other ministry spaces, and then we need that large hub, lobby, new nursery space, and a much more user-friendly flow, so we're not sending visitors across the street and back again, et cetera, et cetera. And we need some refreshing in our sanctuary, and we need to tie in the whole plan with the parking garage so that you flow out of the garage very conveniently into the ministry spaces. So right now, it looks like all of that will be in the range. You know, I want to be careful because I don't want to understate or overstate, but, you know, in a range of maybe $7, $8 million or whatever. For our congregation, and in light of what our board and our elders have pledged already, which you conducted that research, because that sort of indicates what's possible. Because you extrapolate that out, that's right in an area that we should, by God's grace, be able to handle without the church being burdened for years and years. And obviously, we'll want to do as much of that, paying as we go, but we will have to do some borrowing, just like people borrow to buy their home or their automobile or to put on an addition. Borrowing is not inappropriate. Getting in over your head is what the Bible condemns. You know, as you know, when it says don't be in debt, it means beyond your ability to pay. If we didn't use any borrowing, most of us would not have a home or a car, and or be able to send our kids to college. So what we've got to do before we come to our people, John, is lock down the numbers. So what we're doing now, and again, that's been difficult with all the changes and delays. You know, how do you design flow from a parking garage that is on again, off again? So now that it appears to be very much on, now we can say to the folks who are helping us there, here's what we'd like you to design for us. Once the design is in place, then that sets the figure. And then we can go to our people and say, this is what it will take over and above our regular operations to turn this vision into a reality. The biggest portion of that will be the campus redesign, but a piece of that will be church planting, because it takes several $100,000 to plant a church easily. And another piece will be the ongoing cost of some of the high-tech stuff. But the bulk will be the campus. And, of course, in our system, the congregation has to approve all this, and that's as it should be. Right. And once approved, then we'll ask people to make commitments, and we don't ask them to. It's not a legally binding thing. It's a people seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? They set that goal, and then they trust God to help them meet it. But nobody tracks, nobody calls, nobody says, hey, you're falling short. That's strictly between them and the Lord. That's how we operate. But we will be asking people to step up, as our leadership already has. I think our elders and our ops board, their figure for 3 years came in at like $1.3 million, was it, John?
About 1.6, right.
1.6, okay. And so they're already on record that this is what we would believe God to help us to do over and above our regular giving. And we just need everybody to do what God orders. And if everybody does what God orders, everything will be there and nobody will be harmed by the exercise.
Yeah, and
in
of
fact,
course we need
through the exercise.
Yeah, of course we need. I saw Enzo's report that we get about 40% of our revenue from 25% of the year, which is October, November, December. So we'll be talking about that after the first of the year, the investment reach campaign for the high tech, high touch. But right now, we really need very strong months as we end the year to keep all the ministries going. And so we're updating people as to what we're thinking today. But one thing we know is that we need a strong finish for 2017, and in particular, a very strong December, which we have every confidence God is going to provide. Our people have always responded again and again. So, well, Pastor Rock,
now,
I know you're busy.
If we finish weak at the end of the year, then everything would need to go on hold until we address that. So,
yeah, and then you have to fall back. What's the Lord saying? You know,
is
He getting our attention? Is there some direction change? So, but we're confident. We've every year I have been involved with, and I know for you as well, God has been faithful to provide, and we're going to continue to put open, transparent, and honest communication out there about what we believe the Lord is saying, and we'll allow the people to judge it for themselves. Well, Pastor Rock, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for your leadership. I thought this past weekend was excellent, and I'm really looking forward to the future. And thanks for your leadership.
Thank you, John.
All righty, take care. God bless.
Bye bye.
Well, there you have Pastor Rock, a little update on where we are with expanded influence, kind of a follow-up to the annual congregational meeting, and. Can't get much more transparent than our leaders have been. So be praying, be faithful, and tomorrow we're going to come back, as I said, talk to Pastor Glenn, and the following day about Missions Month, and he's preaching this weekend. I want to get some insight into how he's preparing. Maybe we can get a heads up on what he's going to talk about. But in the meantime, this is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat, thanking again Pastor Rock for his time, thanking you for listening, and if you have any comments, please feel free to send them along, johnstanko@gmail.com, and I'll be sure to pass them on to whoever you feel should hear what you have to say. So until tomorrow, so long for now, and see you around campus at ACAC.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net, john.stanko. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.